Belinda and Harper Audio Australia present this unabridged recording of The Pretty Delicious Cafe, written by Danielle Hawkins and read by Jessica Grace Smith. About the author. Danielle Hawkins lives on a sheep and beef farm near Ōtorohanga in New Zealand with her husband and two children. She works part-time as a large animal vet and writes when the kids are at school and she's not required for farming purposes. She is a keen gardener, an intermittently keen cook, and an avid reader. Her other talents include memorizing poetry, making bread, and zapping flies with an electric fly swat. She tends to exaggerate to improve the story, with the result that her husband believes almost nothing she says. The Pretty Delicious Cafe is Danielle's third novel. Chapter 1. One Wednesday in October, I spoilt a perfectly good spring evening by going to bed with a book called Run, Bobby, Run. Hugh at the deli had lent it to me that afternoon when I dropped in for 20 kilos of coffee beans, promising a gripping, fiendishly clever read. And after a solid fortnight of my late great-auntie Sheila's Anne Heppel novels, I thought that sounded like just the thing. It wasn't. 2 weeks of Anne Heppel does, it's true, leave you with the feeling that you're sinking into a bath of warm pink syrup, but there are much worse things, such as fiendishly clever thrillers about psychopaths who abduct and torture teenage girls, eventually mincing them up to feed to the next victim. I read that horrible bloody book until 11, and then I lay awake thinking about psychopaths and how easy my bedroom would be to break into, and whether I'd make it across the road to Monty's on foot without being caught if I heard someone at the window. And then it occurred to me that Monty wasn't home. He was fishing up the 90-mile beach. And then I heard footsteps on the gravel outside. When you live 4 kilometres out of town, 3/4 of the way up a steep hill, visitors tend to drive, not walk, and very few of them arrive at, I looked at the digital alarm clock on my bedside table, 11:57 p.m. My heart gave a great, sickening thump and began to beat so fast and so hard I felt the blood thrumming in my ears. Someone knocked on the back door, and sitting up straight in bed, I screamed like a banshee. The sound shocked me back into silence, and from outside came the rustle of breaking greenery and a dull thump. Shit, someone said. Hey, sorry, it's okay. Hand to throat like the heroine of a melodrama, I got out of bed and tottered across to the open window. It was the old-fashioned hinged sort, held open by a brass bar with holes along its length that could be dropped over a peg on the window frame. Good for stopping the window from banging shut in the wind, but completely useless as a barrier to passing murderers. Outside in the moonlight, a slim young man in jeans and t-shirt was picking himself up out of the flax bush behind the back steps. He didn't look like a murdering psychopath, although, presumably, the most successful ones don't. I'm really sorry, he said. I didn't mean to scare you. I got a flat tire at your gate and there's no jack in my van. I looked at him dumbly, unable, between ebbing terror and rising shame, to say anything at all. Sorry, he said again. I'll go. Sorry. I've got one, I whispered. A jack. There was a pause. Can I borrow it? He asked at last. Okay, of course. The house had been built before the era of internal garaging, and my car lived in a shed 30 metres from the back door, across a stretch of very sharp gravel. Switching on the porch light, I let myself out, squinting in the sudden brightness. In Elmo pyjamas and bare feet, I picked my way across the stones to the shed, reached the car and realised I hadn't brought my keys. Sorry, forgot the key, I said, turning and starting painfully back. It's fine, said my midnight caller. Sorry about this. He stopped, perhaps feeling that all these apologies were becoming a mite repetitive. I had retrieved my keys and was tackling the gravel for a third time when a vehicle on the road below slowed and then turned up the driveway. It took the slope with a roar, dark shadows racing before the glare of its headlights. It's his accomplice, I thought wildly, fumbling with a handful of keys in an attempt to grip one between my knuckles as a weapon. A ute swept around the corner of the house and stopped just 2 metres in front of me. Through the dazzle of headlights, I saw a figure leap out, rifle in hand, and I shot towards the back door like a bolting hare. Stop right there, asshole, cried the gun-wielding maniac.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?